Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their seasons as the Black Knights seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophies. As for Football can be found on Patreon, on Instagram, Twitter, and all other social media platforms at As for Football. Sign up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for the continued support of As for Football and West Point Athletics.
Vanderbilt beating Hawaii at Hawaii. Free beer in Dublin. College football is back, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a beautiful thing. Welcome back to the As for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Atlanta, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and James in Oklahoma City is currently flying. I don't know if he's a passenger or the pilot. Either way, he is unavailable at this time. So thank you for tuning into the show. We're here to kind of walk through a quick recap of all the football that happened in week zero. Look forward to week one, and let's get into it. Dan, how you feeling?
It's been a tough morning for me personally. I got two teenagers, one college sophomore, one high school senior. They don't listen to anything that I say. I may need to talk you guys. You guys may need to talk me, excuse me, down off the ledge at some point today. It's just like, I feel like I'm struggling today. And also, if you're UConn, why are you putting in a true freshman in week freaking zero? Dude was playing high school ball not 6 months ago. That was a head scratcher. Anyway, enough.
They thought they were going to lose by like 86 points. And the fact
that
no
way they thought that. They thought they were going to win that game. And if they hadn't lost that starting quarterback, I think they were going to win it.
I don't know. We'll talk about it. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Took me a long haul to get back. We were in Ohio for a wedding this weekend, so we were in the birthplace of professional football. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch very many games. Like, I'm thumbing through my phone watching highlights, and UConn kind of surprised me. And kind of happy about that because they did cover. But that line moved a lot more than I thought it was going to from the beginning of the week. And other than that, it is fall weather here in North Carolina. Either it's cool and crisp or it's rainy, and I will take the cool and crisp every day over 100% humidity.
Well, whenever you want to send some cool and crisp down to Atlanta, we'd appreciate that because it's either hot or rainy and hot. So I guess that's why they call it Hotlanta. Anyway, so glad you guys got to watch some football. Dan, we have a sponsor. I know you're pretty passionate about it. I know one of your classmates posted a little testimonial in the First Tee Club. You want to give us an update on what Craig is doing to help people save money when they refinance their home or buy a new home?
Yeah, so Ray posted a long testimonial in the First Tee Club, having gone with Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at Draper & Kramer, as he bought his house. You know, Ray just retired after Christ knows how many years in the Army. He and his wife moved to somewhere. You know, we can get these details. Even if I knew them, I definitely wouldn't put them out on the podcast. Suffice it to say that Ray was trying to go through his bank. They had all this paperwork and all these hoops he had to jump through. He finally got frustrated. He emailed Craig, and within that week, he was pre-approved for this mortgage. A bottom line, Craig's people did everything, and Ray didn't have to worry about it, and it was awesome. So, as we have said a million times, folks, friends, men, women, children, everyone listening to this show, this mortgage process is freaking confusing. I mean, interest rates moving all over the place. They're gonna ask for stuff that they don't possibly need. All these banks, like, this process was designed back in probably the 40s, and I don't think it's changed one iota. So you need somebody who cares about you, who wants your business, who will work with you, who's not a random big box bank or some mindless website. And that is Craig Oxane. And this is how the West Point Network functions. Like, Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we are trying as hard as we can to help you get a better deal on your mortgage, even though I know that some of you are like, he's going to save you $1,300 because he does not charge lender's fees for veterans. $1,300. If that's not enough for you to at least send my man an email, you are beyond help. That is dumb. That is dumb. So, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, Draper & Kramer. He's one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. Hell, he's one of the biggest mortgage originators in the country. Not a hard guy to find. Just go to askforfootball.com, find his little banner ad, and you'll be there in moments. And that's it, man. That's it.
Yeah, Craig is top 1% in the country. So, you know, all of us West Pointers like to say we're the best of the best and brightest. But as Ray put it, if you don't go with Craig for your mortgage, you should just go ahead and wear blue and gold body paint and stand with the Corps during Army-Navy because you're that freaking stupid. So check him out. Speaking of football, oh boy. There was a scrimmage this week, final scrimmage of preseason, Army Black Knights versus Army Black Knights. Dan, I know you're already in a little bit of a pessimistic mood. I'm just going to let you go off for a minute.
So we hear rumors all the time, sometimes good, sometimes bad. I try not to put too much stock into them, but the strong rumor coming out of this particular scrimmage was that the team, and especially the offense, did not look sharp at all. And this, friends, this is the kind of thing that we normally keep to ourselves. Like, we're not trying to burn sources. You know, one person's opinion about how something looked during a freaking practice is not usually newsworthy regardless. They weren't tackling. So we also don't know, like, what they were working on during this scrimmage. So jumping to conclusions based on a single practice, that's, like, not a thing that we normally do around here. However, I then watched the post-scrimmage press conference, and that was not encouraging in any way. Reporters were asking Coach Jeff Monken questions like, what can you do to get this team ready? Because they look terrible. And is there enough time with just a week left? And honestly, Monken looked exhausted and resigned. So I don't want to be an alarmist, but this was very reminiscent of like the 2019 preseason when there was a lot of national media attention, where there was a lot of excitement around the team. Preseason looks were like not promising, and then everything just kind of fell apart. Like, I don't know, sometimes the message doesn't get through. Sometimes people are hard-headed. Like, we know that Coach Monken knows how to put together a team, but he can't go out there and block and tackle for these guys. They have to actually do the thing. Your thoughts, guys?
Rob, you can go first.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's always weird because it's practice, right? They're not tackling. It's not full speed. There's an air of, okay, maybe they're just working through some things in that. But the main part goes back to what Dan said. It goes back to there's only so much that the coach can do for the players on the field. Yes, strategically, he can make some calls or make recommendations to, you know, players or to the play callers to make adjustments throughout the course of the game. But when it comes to the 22 guys that are on the field, it's all about their execution, regardless of what play is called. So hopefully this is just one of those things that they were legitimately working on something new, like a new wrinkle for the offense that's kind of tripped them up, and it's not their usual fare. And maybe it's maybe they look bad because they're really working the triple option rather than design runs, you know, which is something that we've always talked about and hope to see, you know, more trust in the quarterback and allowing him to actually run the triple option rather than, you know, a two-man pitch.
Just to drill down a little bit more, one of the feedback things that we heard was that there were multiple snaps that went over the quarterback's head in shotgun. Like, you know, I don't know how you sugarcoat that. I don't know what you're working on that, you know, you're launching the football, you know, 5 feet over the quarterback's head.
Yeah, that's true. And again, that's, you know, does Army do the pistol or shotgun formation? Not normally. So maybe they're working on another wrinkle. However, you know, you still have to execute, and that's the most important part. But hey, look, if worse comes to worse, don't run that play. Take the ball from under center.
Yeah, Rob, I get what you're saying. And Dan, I understand your frustration. It does seem that this team has an issue with distraction, whether it be, you know, stuff going on in the core, but particularly what the media is saying. I know we've had a lot of NFL presence at, you know, games and practices and stuff like that, looking at Andre Carter. Do we think that's been a distraction? 100%. Like, how could it not? You know, especially when a lot of these kids never thought that they would play college football, you know, at a Division I program, didn't get recruited, come to Army, have an opportunity to play, and all of a sudden now, you know, they're playing in front of three or four scouts at every practice. Like, that's distracting. So I guess I kind of want to chalk it up to distractions. There's stuff going on in the preseason, first week of classes. There's 1.5 million things going on, and people are not focused on a scrimmage. I get that. But Dan, I also hear your point. And, you know, back to my little rant last week, I'm nervous going into this season. Like, I am not like excited and ready. Like, I am nervous, and it's going to be a game day decision whether I watch the game Saturday night, because I know I'm just going to be an emotional wreck and just the nerves. Like, is it worth ruining my whole Saturday? Like, being so nervous, and I don't know. Like, we'll see. So I get where you're coming from, Dan. I think Rob has a point. They're probably doing something funky. There's some distractions. Like, you know, we shouldn't go burn our jerseys, you know, week zero. But, you know, we can go ahead and, you know, raise a little risk flag up to the PMO and raise it Steerco for all you consultants. So,
well, you know, listen, part of this might be personal. I've been working with my daughter trying to get her ready for high school swim season for like 6 weeks, and it's going okay. But, you know, teaching people that age, like, they don't freaking listen, you know, and I feel like I just can't get the words to go in, you know. It's like the scene in Star Wars where Luke is going down the trench and he's got to put the little ball of fire into the hole, and I just can't get it's not going in. And so I don't know that that's what's going on with this team. Like, it totally could be something completely different. Last week was spring weekend, and there are a lot of firsties on this team, so that can easily be a distraction. I don't know, man. Maybe it's my personal frustration bleeding through into my expectations of Army, but I can totally imagine exactly what's happening.
No, and you know, you're right, and it is frustrating because we look at this team and how good they can be, and we see when they execute, they're easily a top 25 team, right? We have the talent, we have the coaching. Like, there's no reason why this team couldn't be a top 25 team. Potentially make a run at a New Year's Six Bowl at some point because, you know, highest ranked group of five team. Like, there are years when we are that good and we have that talent, but year after year, like, we see missteps and mistakes because people don't come to the game focused. They're excited to see their family, whatever it is, whatever's going on. We just see this like lack of execution. And then, like, you know, the wheels come off and we're down 21-0 to Ball State, who we should have blown out. Like, I get that, Dan. I think you might have a little PTSD, and that's kind of triggering this. But at the same time, I'm kind of right there with you. I'm a little nervous at some of these early warning signs. And they could, you know, this could be the worst, quote unquote, game they're going to play all year. And, you know, we're going to blow Coastal out. I don't know. But, you know, I guess I'd rather get some of these issues out in the preseason than in the actual season.
Well, it definitely doesn't help that the hardest two games of the season are arguably the first two, and that the schedule itself is front-loaded like a madman. I don't know. You know, let's talk about this next week. I guess we don't need to harp on it. We'll give these kids a chance. But, I'm trying to control my personal expectations. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick. The only thing my concern is just the mental altitude about it, right? So if they have a mental breakdown in the scrimmage, that's not good. You have a tough schedule the first five games, that's not good. So if you lose one or two of those games, guess what? Now you're in quicksand because you're mentally falling apart, even though you have all the physical tools to win as many games as possible. So I think there is something to be concerned about. It may not be a preparation on the field. It may be a preparation in the locker room or in the film room. That may be the more concerning part of this, even less, you know, than the actual scrimmage itself. But I'm going to put a pin in it because I don't want to keep going down this hole, but I'll pass it back over to you guys because I think it's going to be just as much mental as it is physical, particularly in those first five games.
Rob, you're exactly right. And, you know, let's kind of like go back in time to, you know, 2014, 2015. What were the expectations for the season? Don't get shut out every single game and try to beat Navy. That was it. You know, a bowl game was laughable. Like the fact that, oh, you know, getting 10 wins, like, yeah, that's never going to happen. And now we're in a position where it's like, hey, the expectation is that we're going to lose one or two games against a Power 5 opponent every year. We're going to go to a bowl game. We're going to beat Navy. We're going to beat Air Force, get the CIC. And then we're going to go to a bowl game against a, you know, Big 10, Big 12, SEC school, whatever it is, and we're going to beat them. That's the expectation coming in every single year. So to your point about a mental breakdown, just the stress year after year looking at it and saying, hey, let's send these seniors out on a high note. You know, they've had all these winning seasons. Like, you know, we hear all these statistics and all this pressure and all that stuff. So that's got to be a factor too. And we'll discuss that as the season goes on. But Rob, I think you're exactly right that, you know, we cannot discount like the mental stress of West Point plus all the pressure from football expectations, all that other stuff is compounding on these guys that are 19, 20, 21 years old. Like that's a lot of stress for anybody, but especially someone who's 21 years old. So Dan, why don't you take us through the next section? We'll get off of this.
Well, all right. So do you like Army football, but hate social media? Like who doesn't? Who doesn't, right? Everybody likes Army football and social media is terrible. We know this. Don't go online and argue with Navy Daddy 69 on some social media website. Like that is a useless exercise. You're not going to learn anything. God knows Navy Daddy 69 is not going to learn anything. People suck. I think we all know this, right? Social media sucks. So here's what you do. Go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We're going to send you exactly one email per week with that week's content. That's it. That's the whole thing. Keep up with Army sports, with Ask for Football. We're happy to tell you our thoughts. We'll sit in the car with you and talk about Army football on your way to work. You can yell at us. It's cool. We're not going to get mad. We're not going to argue with you on Twitter or whatever. Just if you have friends who love Army football, but they hate social media, yo, subscribe them to our mailing list. Do them a favor. Do us a favor. That's it. That's my whole pitch.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Yeah, it's easy. You're all our content in your inbox, easy to read. You know, send it out on Fridays before the game so you can get prepped. So well worth it. Let's talk Coastal Carolina. So Coastal Carolina a couple of years ago was nobody's school, and now they are, you know, the mullet capital of the world. Fun fact, you know, they're in Myrtle Beach. The defunct Hooters Airline was headquartered in Myrtle Beach. Most of their routes all either, you know, started or ended in Myrtle Beach. So think of Coastal Carolina, think of Hooters Air. You kind of understand what their whole thing is. That being said, they're one of the best mid-majors in all of college football. They went 11-2 in 2021, 6-2 in the Sun Belt. Kind of a weak schedule. You know, their best win was against Troy down in Alabama. They lost to Georgia State on the road, 42-40, lost to App State, 30-27, needed overtime to beat South Alabama, 27-20. They did beat a very good Northern Illinois team, 47-41 in the Cure Bowl. So talented program. You know, they did well in 2020 as well. Finished top 25. Good program last year. I think they kind of struggled to go the distance, and, you know, won and lost a lot of close games, but, you know, we'll see. Dan, offensively, I know they kind of run something almost like an option out of the spread. They like to run a lot. They like to throw a lot. I don't know if I would call it a high powered offense, but, they are probably an offensive first team, kind of more aligned to the Big 12 style than the Big 10 style. Would you agree with that?
For sure. Yeah. So this is a team that ranked fifth in scoring last year with 41 points per game, sixth in rushing last year with 229 yards per game, and 28th in passing last year with 266 yards per game. So yeah, that's a super high powered offense. Quarterback Grayson McCall, he's their star. Like he is the big star. He just signed a monster, name, image, and likeness deal with a NASCAR racetrack of all things. This guy threw for 73% completion percentage last year, 27 touchdowns against just 3 interceptions. That's otherworldly. Like, I can't believe he didn't go out for the NFL. 73% completion percentage, 27 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Like, that's NFL ready, folks. He did take 16 sacks, which is kind of a lot. He only ran it 93 times for 298 yards. 3.1 yards per carry, just 4 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's a little surprising considering people always say, well, this is like the new version triple option. Like, not exactly. If it was the new version triple option, McCall would be carrying it a bit more, like a good bit more. But still, you know, they spread it around. Shermani Jones, running back, 159 carries, 6.5 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns. They have 2 other guys, about half as many carries, each run for 7.5 or 8.5 yards, 7 touchdowns apiece. They have 3 different receivers who were averaging like 15 to 17 yards per catch. Their tight end, Isaiah Likely, 12 touchdowns last year. This is a good offense, man. I mean, this is a high-powered offense. They're real good. Bad news for Chanticleer fans. Holy cow. Say that five times fast. They lost 8 offensive starters, and they need 3 new starting offensive linemen. So there's, like, you can see where they might struggle. But even with that, they still have 3 running backs who are experienced coming back, 2 wide receivers and a tight end coming back, all who have experience. So, yeah, this team's got some weapons.
Yeah, you know, Grayson McCall, you're right, you know, monster NIL deal, you know, ton of national media every year. I think, you know, they talked about him for the Heisman last year. I mean, he's an athlete. He's a stud. They got a good offensive line. They got good receivers. Everything on offense is good. When it works really well, and they're incredibly difficult to stop. But, you know, when people defensively get a little bit of penetration and kind of mess up that mesh, they struggle a little bit. So, you know, we'll see how Andre Carter does. We'll see how the new nose tackle does. We'll see. Speaking of defense, Rob, you want to take us through the Chanticleer's defense?
Yeah, so the Chanticleer's defense. They struggled against quality running teams, which is good for Army, just because running is our forte, which is great. We'll see if they can stick with the analytics of at least 3-plus yards for a fullback dive on this one. Really, they lost 9 starters on defense as well, so that's a pretty big blow to their defense. After the performance that they had last year, they gave up 21.6 points a game, which is 25th overall, but they allowed 150-plus yards rushing on an average of 4.1 yards per carry, so that's pretty bad. And that was largely a function of their schedule. So they played against UMass, ULM, and Southern Alabama, and those guys ran almost for everything that they did. Meanwhile, the Citadel ran for 223 yards, and I will venture a guess and say that the Army offense is slightly better than the Citadel. Buffalo ran for 262 yards on 5.6 yards per carry. App State rang up 228 yards and 5.6 yards per carry, and Northern Illinois was the high mark at 335 yards and 6.1 yards per carry. So they have a lot of defensive issues when it comes to stopping the run, and part of it probably is just because they're such a wide open passing offense that the reps that they get, you know, in the defensive sessions is probably not as thorough as it should be, and then preparing for the triple option could be a little bit dangerous, so the defense may be the weaker part of this game. But again, the Chanticleers like to shoot out, so their offense is still pretty important. But back to the defense, Silas Kelly and Teddy Gallagher each had 40 tackles and 2 sacks. Defensive tackle C.J. Brewer had 23 tackles and 4.5 sacks, and the rush linebacker Josiah Stewart had 24 tackles and 12.5 sacks. It doesn't look like they have a lot of experience returning in the secondary, but if they can stop the run, could be problems for Army. And I'll pick up the special teams, too. So their kicker, Massimo Biscardi, is very good. He has 46 of 48 extra points, and he's 7 of 8 of field goals, and his long miss was over 40 yards. And then the punter, Kieran Colahan, had 1 punt last year for 35 yards, and that is a very telling statistic. So that means the Chanticleers are either scoring a lot of points or getting a lot of first downs if their punter only punted once for 35 yards. Going to be an interesting matchup on both sides of the ball. I think Army has the advantage, offense on the defense on the offense. I would say it's a push or slightly favoring the Chanticleers. Dan, what are your thoughts on a matchup?
Well, yeah, as we already said, I'm worried. I'm most worried because I think that this is going to be a shootout. Like, I don't believe for 1 minute that Army's defense is just going to shut these guys down. That's just not what's going to happen, right? The Chanticleers are going to score, so Army's going to have to keep up, and they're going to have to score. And, you know, that means that they need to be precise, power-running football team. And now listen, Army, when they practice, they don't necessarily practice running the fullback dive up the middle at full speed. Like, nobody's going to do that. But so that's going to make a difference. But, you know, this, what we saw from them, the problems that they've had are concerning because they need to come in rolling hot, and this Chanticleer's offense is going to put up some points.
Yeah, Dan, your point about a shootout, I think you might be right. And it kind of reminds me once again, was it 2018 or 2019? Whenever we, I guess it was 2019, played Oklahoma, you know, took him to overtime. Kyler Murray won the Heisman. You know, the, Grace McCall is not Kyler Murray. These guys are not Oklahoma. But it does kind of make you wonder how important the clock is going to be. Army has a much slower, more deliberate offense. Coastal scores a lot faster. This game very well could come down to who has the ball last and how well Army does limiting mistakes, limiting negative yardage, and not turning over the damn ball. Because if we turn over the ball, we're going to lose this football game. But if we hold on to the ball and we get positive yardage and we can grind out the clock and keep their offense off the field and wear down their defense, who's not used to our style of football, I think we have a chance. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, so from the offensive side, I think, again, it goes back to what we've already talked about. Execution matters. Mental mistakes are the most important part of the first game of the season. If you can keep it clean, keep down all the unnecessary ticky-tack calls like the offsides or the false starts or the illegal formations or anything crazy like that, that will advantage Army, right? Your cadets at West Point, discipline is your thing. Be disciplined. On the defense, it's going to be interesting to see who steps up to be the next Captain America, and that's basically the middle linebacker for Army. They should make a jersey for him so he can have that in practice, kind of like the quarterback. You have his red, white, and blue Captain America. Give him a shield too, hell, what the whatever. You know, just let him play that way. I think viewership will be down on this game, which kind of sucks because I think it's going to be one of the more compelling matchups of the week, and it's a late game, so I think a lot of eyes would be on it, except for the fact that Notre Dame, Ohio State kicks at the same time. And the game is on ESPNU, so that's kind of a disadvantage as far as the game is concerned, or getting the viewership and getting the eyes on Army. And maybe we don't want them on there, but hopefully, like, if it turns into a game where Army controls the ball and keeps Grayson McCall off the field, then I think we're kind of in a situation similar to, you know, the Oklahoma game where it's going to come down to the last possession and who blinks first by making a mistake. And then my other part of it is one of the things I'm very interested in is seeing how this new cut-block rule comes into play, because every time they've made adjustments to any type of blocking rules, it always hinders Army, particularly in the first week, until they kind of work out the details on it and how the referees are going to call those calls. And so if they've worked out the kinks of the blocking scheme, and maybe that was part of the kerfuffle in the bad scrimmage, who knows? But hopefully they can show up and have a good opportunity to win this game, either by blowout if Army can control the ball, or at least keeping it close enough to win in the final seconds if it becomes a one possession game.
Dan, what do you think about that? You agree?
Like I said, I'm just nervous. I think it's very likely to come down to a late score unless Coastal just runs away with it. The one outcome that I really don't think is going to happen is like the repeat of the Georgia State game last year, although I had kind of a similar feeling going into that game, and Army obviously took care of business. So, you know, maybe I'm just being a little pessimistic. It's hard to come in with a new season and all the expectations and sort of keep a level head, and maybe I'm just failing to keep a level head here, but yeah, I'm nervous, and a shootout is probably one of the better outcomes that we could get.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, last year Georgia State, I was nervous too. I remember I said some of the same things. I was at that game. You might be right there. You might have a point. We're just gonna have to see games on ESPN Plus, like Rob mentioned. So, you know, Dan, you might need to fork up that $5.99 for that subscription. You can actually watch the game. Maybe they'll move it to ESPNU at the last second, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of big games on Saturday night, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, game is, I think, 7 o'clock. So, all right. That being said, let's go ahead and jump over to Fact or Fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or Fiction.
Incorrect.
Dan, you have the first one this week.
Yeah, so fact or fiction, the fan base has a total meltdown after this week's game, regardless of the outcome.
I think it's fact. I think, you know, if we win the game, people are going to be excited. Oh, we just beat Coastal. I think if we lose, you know, everything that we're potentially hinting as, hey, this might be a bit of a red flag, I think people are going to jump to the extreme and assume that the world's ending.
Yeah, I think Well, Brett Davis is going to get his Twitter block warmed up if they lose. And if they win, I think it'll be, rave reviews. And again, it goes back to the mental stuff. We just don't want the guys to kind of lose target and focus on the next week. Because once this week is over, you got to get past it and move on to the next thing. And you don't want it, taking up space rent free in their heads.
Yeah, this is such a hard way to open, right? You travel down, play one of the best teams in the country on a Saturday. It's like a random week. Like, this is a really tough way to open the season. It is not ideal. You know, you look, Navy's got Delaware coming in, Air Force has got Northern Iowa. Like, that would have been a better plan. This is, and I understand when they scheduled this game, Coastal was not expected to be a powerhouse. But you got to play the people on your schedule. Anyway, I'll take fact. I think this is fact agreement. No matter what happens, I think the fan base is going to lose its mind.
Yeah, we'll see what happens down the Dirty Myrtle. So I'm going to say that Brent Davis unblocks As for Football by the end of the season. Fact or fiction?
Fiction.
That's fiction. Cold day in hell when that happens.
That is a fiction agreement.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that I can maintain my anonymous status because I don't think he's figured it out yet.
Oh, you never know, Rob. You never know.
All right, and then moving on to my fact or fiction. I'm going to say 247 plus yards of rushing for Army against the Chanticleers.
That's got to be a fact or else we're screwed.
You know, Rob, you talked about, you know, defensively the Chanticleers have lost a lot in the secondary. We might throw it. I don't know. Maybe that's why we're warming up some of that shotgun. We're going to kind of, you know, go in a little bit of a spread. We're going to air it out a little bit. I don't know. I think I'm going to go ahead and say fact on this, but I'm going to dissent with Dan's second point of if we don't get it, we're screwed because I think we're going to try to throw the ball against a weakened secondary. But we'll see. But yes, I'm going to say fact. We're going to have more than 247 yards of rushing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Rob.
Only thing I was going to say is like, yeah, I don't think that they're not going to abandon the pass. I mean, we've had success over the last few seasons, you know, setting up that fullback dive and then going with the play action and having a wide open Isaiah Alston. So, I mean, that's reasonable. It's just when the timing of that play actually comes in to happen. Hopefully it's in the first half and it keeps the defense honest, but we'll see.
I was just going to say, you know, you look at the teams that did well against Coastal last year, and those were teams that were power running teams. So if they want to keep this game close and really stay in it, then they're just going to have to run for power and hit these guys, you know, right where they live and put up yards and points and control the game clock. Like it's not rocket science. So 247 yards or we lose this game for sure.
We'll see, Dan. Anyway, that's fact or fiction. This has been the As for Football Army Football Show. Dan, why don't you close us with your favorite thing?
Yeah, so we talked about the Firstie Club a little bit last week. We're on Patreon. That's where the people who, you know, are really into Azure football support us financially, and we give them some perks. The Firstie Club is for our top level members, and we had so much fun watching the Week Zero games this week. If you are interested in talking football with a bunch of other Army fans, join us in the Firstie Club. God knows Azure football could use your support. And it was awesome, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you guys who showed up.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Rob. We'll catch you next week, everybody. Go Army.
Beat them. Beat Coastal.
Beat Coastal Carolina.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast, As for Football, and Army Athletics. You can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.